get into the Word of God today. Anybody thankful for God's Word? Let's go to Acts 2:37 today. Can we do that? And the context for this passage is Peter has just preached Jesus after, on the day of Pentecost, I should say. And he preaches about the work of Jesus, the identity of Jesus. And the people in the audience, they get convicted in their heart. And they say this. When they heard this, they said, "What shall we do?" And I think all of us, we get to that point in our life where we ask, "What can I do? I know I'm not good enough on my own. I know that I have no way to live good enough. There's nothing within me that is worthy of God's grace." And we all ask that question. And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now here we at this church, we believe that it's the will of God for every believer to experience these three baptisms that Peter mentions on the day of Pentecost. And that's important because that is the founding of the church. That's the beginning of the church. That was the day of Pentecost. And we believe that these are three distinct experiences that everybody can and should experience. That it's available to everybody. It's not just for Pentecostals. It's not just for, a certain sect, a certain group, a certain group of people born at a certain particular time. But this is God's promise to everybody. And so I'm going to walk through some scriptures today. And today's kind of going to be kind of more of a Bible study. And so if you just hang with me, we're going somewhere. And I want to show that all through the book of Acts that the believers experienced these three baptisms, these three experiences. And the first one is this. They had a baptism of faith or repentance. And that is when we believe in who Jesus is and we turn our life to him. And then they had a baptism of water. And literal water, to be baptized means to be immersed, to be plunged. And then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we see that the gospel was spread into the Samaritans. And they were told the truth about who Jesus is by Philip. And in Acts 8:12, it says, "But when they believed Philip," we see there what's the first baptism. "They believed Philip as he preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Both men and women were" what? "Baptized." So we see they had the baptism of faith and repentance. They had the baptism in water. And then a few verses later, it says, "Now when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who then they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Now I want you to see here, they didn't tell them that, "You know what, don't worry about it. If you ever get around to this, you know, that's fine." No, they told them, "Hey, there's more to your experience than what you've had so far." Now, at the same time, they didn't condemn them and they didn't say, "Well, what you've experienced so far doesn't mean anything," right? That there was a truth of, "You know what you've done and what you've heard, what you've believed, that is essential. That is the core of the gospel, but there's this promise to you that you need to experience." And notice what they did. When they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. "For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they'd only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." So we see that the believers on the day of Pentecost experienced these three baptisms. And then the believers in Samaria experienced these three baptisms. Moving on to Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, he's beginning his missionary travels, and he encounters some believers in Acts chapter 19, but they had not heard the full message about Jesus and the implications of the kingdom of God. And it says in Acts chapter 19, "As it happened when Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them," and I want to just stop there. He found some disciples. And that's what all of us want to be. We want to be disciples. And disciples are this. Disciples of Jesus are when they hear truth, they obey. That when they are reading in the scriptures and they see something that applies to their life, they pursue it. How many wants to be a disciple? Everybody want to be a disciple? So he found some disciples there. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And sadly enough, that describes a lot of churches today, doesn't it? And I'm not trying to be condemning when I say that. What I'm saying today is there's this awesome experience for everybody, and everybody should experience. Doesn't matter what the name on your church door says. It's open for everybody. And so many times we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the working of the Spirit in our life. But that is a very important God. He shows himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we can't just take a third of who he is and ignore it, right? We want to experience the fullness of God through his Holy Spirit. And so they said, we haven't even, what are you talking about? We don't know. We've never heard about this. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Now what that means is all they knew was that John the Baptist had come. And he what told people to repent. That the Messiah is coming. And when he would baptize people, he would baptize them into repentance. And so they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. That's all we know. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Now I want you to see what these disciples did. When they heard this, they what? They stood and argued for 2 days over whether this was a big deal. No. When they heard this, they believed, apparently, and who Jesus was, because John had prepared them for that. And so they were believed in what they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Because when we get baptized, we're getting baptized into who Jesus is, right? That's what we're going to get into that in a minute. But that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It's not about water. It's not about, you know, all the different stuff that people make it about. It's ultimately about Jesus. And so they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we see there that these believers, they experienced the three baptisms that God has for every disciple. And I can see this all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible alludes to these three experiences. And you can find it in places like 1 John 5:8. And he says that there are three that bear witness on earth. In other words, there's three experiences that God has. And that is, number one, the Spirit, which that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the water, the baptism of water, and the blood. What's the blood? That's faith in Jesus. That's what it's all about. Because that's where it all starts, is you have to believe that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and that he died for your sins. And when we believe in that blood, we believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and that he did what he said what the Bible says he did. That is where it all starts, and that is the first baptism. How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus? How many is glad that there's a blood of a perfect lamb that testifies of his righteousness in your life? Let's move on. Paul talks about this, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of all of our fathers who are under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And I'm going to stop here. That he's referring to the Israelites as they left Egypt and they made their way to the promised land. And everything that happened in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus or implies something that Jesus did for our salvation. Does that make sense? That all the stories in there, everything that Israel went through, everything God did for Israel, it's relevant to us in some way. All right, and so he's saying here, hey guys, I want to show something to you. And it goes back to our fathers as they left Egypt. And he said this, they were under the cloud. Now the cloud, all throughout the scriptures, cloud has different symbolism, but here it represents, I believe, the Holy Spirit. that it, what they do, they followed that cloud, right, out of Egypt. And God guided them through that cloud. And God guides us through his Holy Spirit. And he says that they passed through the sea. And watch this. He said, all were baptized into Moses. In other words, that they were following by faith Moses, who represented Christ to them. Now, he wasn't worshipped. I don't want to give that impression. But he was their deliverer, and he is a representative of Christ. And that represents the first baptism, is that Jesus is our Moses. Jesus is a better than Moses. That he is leading us out of our sin. He's leading us out of our captivity. And so they were baptized into Moses in the cloud, in the Holy Spirit, and in the what? The sea. That when they passed through that Red Sea, that there's a representation there of what happens for us in baptism, and that the enemy that's been pursuing us and the enemy that's kept us captive, that we are baptized. What did Peter say? For the remission of our sins, that the record is taken away because of the remission of sins that Jesus has given us. That the, just as Egypt was swallowed as that last Israelite entered into the other side of the Dead Sea or the Red Sea, so does God swallow our sins. How many is glad that Jesus has swallowed up every enemy that's been pursuing us? It's under the blood. How many is glad that it's under the blood? So they were all baptized in the cloud, and they were baptized in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was what? It was Christ. In other words, that it was really Jesus that was leading them. They just did not have the revelation of that. And I want to tell you that if you follow Jesus, you're going to go through the sea. You're going to follow that cloud. If you just keep following Jesus, if you keep being a disciple of the Word, I want to tell you these three things are available to you. And that's a beautiful thing. Going back to the Old Testament, I don't know how many today are familiar with the tabernacle of Moses, but God gave the Israelites a temporary place of worship called the tabernacle. And in this tabernacle, there were three compartments, you could say. There was the outer court, which was basically outside, and there was this tent that surrounded the boundary. And then there was another tent inside the curtain, and that was called the inner court. And then within that tent, there was an inner chamber called the holy place. In other words, there were three parts of the tabernacle. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the holy place. And if someone wanted to enter into the holy place, the holy place, let me just explain, that is where the very presence of God dwelled. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to get into that place. I want to live in that place. I don't want to just get a glimpse of who God is. And here's the thing, so many people are satisfied to stay in the outer court, to just kind of say, hey, I'm here. Hey, I believe in Jesus. Hey, you know, I'm satisfied with where I'm at in God. But there's some people that they want to press beyond that outer court, and they want to go to the deepest levels, the deepest experiences of God. But here's what you had to do. First of all, when you entered that outer court, you had to sacrifice a blood of a lamb on the altar. And that represents the baptism of faith and repentance. As I said before, if you're going to go anywhere in God, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to apply the blood of Jesus in your life, and you have to do that by faith. And you have to repent. You have to say, God, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you control of my life. And then the next thing that they would do to enter into the inner court, they would wash at a laver, which was a stand, which was a bowl of water, and they would wash the blood from the altar off of their hands. And that represents baptism. That when we are washed in baptism, it's a spiritual washing. And then the next thing they would do when they entered the oil to the inner place, inner court, they would be anointed with oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. And we can see there what those three components, those three baptisms, even in the Old Testament, that we see that these things are a reality. And here's what I want to tell you. We have something better than what they had. We have something greater than what they had. Matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that they look on, the saints of the Old Testament, they look on and they covet what we have. And I want to tell you today that don't be satisfied in the outer court. Don't be satisfied just to say, well, I believe in Jesus. And that's a great thing to believe in Jesus. That's a powerful experience to believe in Jesus. But God wants us to go further. God wants us to go deeper in Him, to have a real relationship with Him, to be a real follower of Him wherever He leads us. Now, I want to go through these three baptisms in depth here for a minute. And the first baptism is a baptism of faith and repentance. And I call it a baptism because of this, because that we need a baptism of grace to even go anywhere in God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the grace of God. And so God baptizes us with the gift of faith, with the gift to believe. And Jesus, He didn't need to repent because He wasn't a sinner, obviously. But all of us need to repent. All of us need to repent of our sins. And what does that mean? That means to turn around. It means to do an about face. If you're going this way, you want to turn around and you want to go this way. It means to change your life. And if that means that, you know, if you have a problem with stealing, you need to say, Lord, I'm going to stop stealing. By your grace, you're going to give me the power. I'm making a decision. I want to stop stealing. Lord, if you have a problem with fornication, you need to say, Lord, I'm going to stop fornicating. Now, this is today considered old school preaching, but it's very true. It's still true that repentance is not just telling Jesus you're sorry. Can I get an amen? It's a desire and a decision to change your life. And that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. None of us here today are perfect. Repentance is this, is that when you sin by accident. You sin not out of a desire in your heart to live a lifestyle that's unpleasing to God, but you have made a change in your mental capacity, and that is this, that I am going to do my best to please God. That's what repentance is. And that's so important in your life, because anything after repentance, without repentance, we can't go further. And it means to change our lifestyle, to change what we think about. It's so important that we change our thoughts. We change how we view God. And so it's where we stop being God's enemy and we form a relationship with Him. We believe in Him. We believe in the cross. And that pushes us to, that makes us, when we see the grace of God on that cross, it doesn't give us license to sin more, but it gives us freedom to sin less. That it gives us a freedom that God, because God loves me so much, because His grace has been shown to me when I don't deserve it, I choose to live for Him freely, not out of bondage. Does anybody feel that way today? How many is thankful that you get to live this life? And so just as it's impossible to love somebody without true commitment, it's impossible to experience God without repentance. God refuses to be used. If you're just, I want to be very clear about this. Salvation is not about a get out of hell free card. So many people view salvation that way. Oh, I just don't want to go to hell. You know, I think back as a kid, so many times I went to the altar and, you know, you put, even as a kid, you kind of put it all together. Like, you know, there's this place called hell where you're tormented forever, or you can love Jesus and go to heaven forever. Well, going to heaven forever sounds like a better deal. And so I'll do whatever I have to do to make God happy and not go to hell. And that's unfortunate, because that is not what salvation's about. Salvation's about love. Oh, come on, somebody. How many love Jesus? I get to live for Him. I love Him not because He's going to save me from hell. I just love Him because of who He is. So the Holy Spirit, and this is so important, you cannot repent. You cannot have faith without the Holy Spirit moving on you. And right now, some Some of you are feeling convicted in your heart. I want to tell you, that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit saying, I've marked you. I want you. That's the Holy Spirit leading you to Jesus. And here's what I found. The best thing to do is just surrender. So that's very important. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So when we repent, the Holy Spirit's already leading us, already wooing us and calling us. So that's the baptism of faith and repentance. Next is the baptism, water baptism. And this is what water baptism does. Is it unites us and identifies us with Jesus Christ. It does. There's a lot of things that happen at baptism, but for me, that is the most important. Is that only people who believe in Jesus can be water baptized. And I want to say this, only people who have repented should be baptized. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to pass some litmus test and when you get good enough, we'll baptize you. How many knows God takes us as we are, right? But there should be a decision in your heart before you get baptized, God, I'm completely turning my life over to you. God, I am done living life the way I want to live it. That's very important because if you haven't made that decision, you're wasting your time. You're getting wet. There's nothing magical about baptism. There's nothing that, you know, that we have this holy water back here that we intercede over and pray over for a certain amount of time, you know, like a fine wine at firm. No, it's water, and it's all about faith, and it's all about what God is doing in your life, and you have to have a repentant heart for baptism to serve its purpose. And so oftentimes, I will say this, that when people make that decision that they're going to live for Christ and they get baptized in water, that I have seen incredible things happen, things like people who struggled with addiction, people who struggled with habits or different things in their life, that they were completely delivered in the waters of baptism. That doesn't happen for everybody, but I have seen it happen. And that's because God honors faith. And that's what baptism is all about. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament of a man named Naaman. He was a Syrian, and he was not a follower of God, but he had a servant in his house who did know who God was. And Naaman had leprosy. And so this servant told him, hey, if you go and see this prophet in Israel, he can tell you what to do to be delivered. And so he made his way to this prophet of Israel, and the prophet sent out his servant and told him, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll be made whole. Now, that would be like, you know, if anybody here today has cancer, which that's basically what leprosy was back in that day, and you came to church today, and I said, you know what, just go to Ramsey Creek, or one of these creeks around here, in the middle of wintertime, and jump in it 7 times, you'll be cured of cancer. That's basically what it's telling me, because the Jordan River was filthy. It was a dirty, nasty river. And so at first, Naaman says, no, I'm not going to do it. And the reason why he wouldn't do it is called pride, right? That's what kept him from obeying God. And then one of Naaman's servants told him, hey, if the prophet told you to do something hard and impressive, you would do it. But since he's told you something simple to do, your pride isn't letting you do it. And thankfully, Naaman listened to his servant. He went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and he came out completely whole. Now, I believe that there is a picture of baptism in that story. And that is this, you know, people get hung up, people fight, argue over baptism, you know, all these things. You know, do I really have to be immersed? Do I really have to do this and do that? What I'm going to tell you, is it really a hard thing? No. You go underwater for a few seconds, and you come up, and you do it by faith. Now, I don't understand why God chose water. I don't understand all the idiosyncrasies of what happens. I also don't understand a lot about communion either. But how many still does it? You know why you do it? Faith. That's what God told us to do. And so God has chosen water baptism as the vehicle and as the expression for us to display our faith in Jesus. And when we look at the day of Pentecost, remember that scripture we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when they asked, what do we have to do? And Peter told them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. It says a few verses later that thousands heard the word and obeyed. In other words, they didn't argue. They didn't set up committees and say, well, what happens here? What, you know, what's really the significance of this? No, they just obeyed, and that's what disciples do. And I want to tell you, if you've been thinking about baptism and you got some hang-ups in your mind, I want to tell you, get rid of those hang-ups. Just obey God, and he will do the rest. And I want to be careful here today. I'm not preaching a salvation by works. I'm not telling you if you just get baptized, God will be happy with you. You have to have faith. You have to believe. But once you believe, if you've never been water baptized, you need to be baptized in water. And here we baptize in the name of Jesus because it's in the name of Jesus. He's the one who died for our sins. He's the one who paid the price. And as we see in Romans chapter 6, he says, or do you not know, Paul says, or do you not know as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Here's what he's saying, is that in baptism we reenact our salvation, that we are joined with Christ, that we are burying that old person, and we're coming up a new person in Christ, that our past is being buried, and one day we're going to be buried, and one day, just as we came out of that water, physically, spiritually and physically, we're going to be made new at the resurrection on the last day. Is anybody thankful for that promise today? And here's where I want to finish on water baptism, is why water baptism is so important to me, is that it gives us a concrete event that we can look back to for what we just talked about. That when Satan tries to condemn us, we can say, oh no, not today, Satan. Not today. Okay, I practice that. I never tell her that, though. I wasn't pointing at her to call her Satan, just to clarify. Just to make the car ride home a lot better. Anyway, you could say, you know what? I was baptized. I believe in who Jesus was. I was baptized in his name. He's paid the price for my sins. You have no right to condemn me. You have no right to talk to me. I am baptized in the character and the person and in the future of Jesus Christ. Somebody thank him for the victory that we have. So the final baptism is this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that you have to experience the first baptism before you can experience the next two. But there's no chronological order that these have to follow after that. I've known people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit before they had a chance to be water baptized. And I want to tell you this, that after you believe in Jesus, you need to get water baptized at the soonest available time. And just come see me, or we do baptism Sundays every now and then. But there is a urgency to it. We see it in the book of Acts. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but we see in the book of Acts, they baptize people the same night that they believed. Okay? Now, nobody's here has a clock keeping track of how long you've waited to get baptized. The point is, have a sense of urgency. Why? Because we want to be obedient. We want to obey God. We don't want to put things off. We want to have a sense of urgency in our obedience. But the next baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to go back to the book of Acts, and I want to show you another episode that shows these three baptisms. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter was called upon, long story short, God gave him a vision, and God told him of a specific place to go, and he connected him with Gentiles. Now, we have to understand that really, when you think about it, the early church had a race problem. That on the day of Pentecost, it was mainly Jewish people who experienced the Holy Spirit, were saved and baptized. And God had to break through, there's that word, the breakthrough they had to have was this. God had to convince them that other people could be saved. Boy, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing to believe that people who don't look and act like me can be saved? Boy, that's quite a revelation, isn't it? But he had to give him a literal vision for him to go preach to these people. And they were Gentiles who, they feared God in the best way they knew how, but they needed more revelation. And Peter went and preached to them. He preached to them who Jesus was. Preached to them the identity of Jesus and the work of Jesus. And it says this in verse 45, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that is Jews, who believed were astonished. Look at this. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter. In other words, all the Jews that came with Peter. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In other words, all these proud Jewish people who think they have a corner on truth and a corner on God, and that, you know, if you're going to go anywhere with God, you need to check with me first because I know everything. Which, by the way, God hates that attitude. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. None of us know everything. We do the best with the revelation God's given us. Amen? But they were astonished because here there was these new non-Jewish people speaking in tongues because the Holy Spirit had fell on them just like it fell on them in Acts chapter 2. And it's almost like they're asking, hey, can they do that? Hey, Peter, are they allowed to do that? Because after all, they're not Jewish like us. And maybe it might be, you know, sometimes we think only Pentecostals get to do this, or God's only called Pentecostals for this particular gift. And then God brings in Catholics and God brings in, you know, different denominational stripes. And you know what? They have the same gift. In other words, God is not going to be kept inside our little boxes, is he? He'll pour the Holy Spirit out wherever people are hungry. And so here's what happened. As they were hearing Peter speak about Jesus, they had faith. They believed it. They recognized that what was being told to them was true. And the Holy Spirit moved so strongly. There we see again what the Holy Spirit was moving on them, or else they couldn't have believed. And it moved on them so strongly that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they responded to God. How did they know? Because what they spoke in other tongues and they magnified God vocally with praise. And here's a very important point, that all throughout the book of Acts, the most common sign of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. Now, again, it's very mysterious. I can't explain everything about speaking in tongues, just as I can't explain everything about communion or baptism. But what I do see is it's in the Bible. And we don't worship tongues. Amen? We worship Jesus. But tongues are the sign, a sign that he has given, that we have experienced this baptism. And I think one of the reasons could be that where'd we all go wrong at Babel when we tried to rebel against God as a civilization? So what did God do? He confounded the languages. But in the kingdom of God, our language is brought together through what I would call our prayer language. And that is a supernatural language that we pray out. And there's something powerful about this experience. And I can't get into detail today for the sake of time, but maybe we'll get into that in the coming weeks. But here's what I want to tell you, that don't let the unusual scare you. And don't think that you have to have the identical experience to someone else. You may receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your shower alone. when you're in the car. Maybe you've got some worship music on. You might get it here. What I want to tell you today is just be open. These people, they didn't know what they were getting. They didn't expect it to happen a certain way. And where we often mess it all up is when we expect it has to look like this. Just be open to what God wants to do in your life. I got sidetracked there, but verse 46, back to Acts chapter 10. For when they heard them speak in tongues, they magnified God. Then Peter answered them. In other words, he's answering the Jews who said, can they really do this? And then he answered them. He says, you know what, we need to go even further. He says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? In other words, there's no reason why these people shouldn't be baptized. And look what he did. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they obeyed. And we see that these people experienced those three baptisms in a very short period of time. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. In other words, it was a promise. John chapter 1 said again, I saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In other words, this isn't just some obscure concept in the Bible. This was very central to the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit, it comes upon us at faith and repentance. But it baptizes, and we are immersed in the Spirit in this distinct baptism of the Holy Spirit. That there's something that's like a fire that's lit inside of us. And I want to show you that that's true. Because remember, the disciples, they walked with Jesus every day for 3.5 years. If anybody had a right to be a little bit prideful, it was them, right? They wrote some of our scriptures. But Jesus told them this. He told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them, listen, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. In other words, he's saying, guys, don't leave. Don't spread the message about who I am until you receive, you wait until you receive the promise, which is what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do today, I want to encourage you. Some of you have been seeking this experience. Maybe you need to wait. The disciples had to wait. They had to have a season of prayer and seeking God until God gave them this experience. But I want to tell you, all you have to do is you just have to ask for it. God does the rest. You know, Jesus said in, I believe it's Luke 11, he said, if you're evil, in other words, if you're sinful, but you still give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give out his Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so your job today, I'm not telling anyone to speak in tongues. I'm telling you to ask for it and be open. And God does the rest. Now we have to cooperate, but ultimately we ask for it. And then I want you to see what happened. They waited, they prayed, and in Acts chapter 2, we see that they're all together. There's 120 of them. And you know who else was in there? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Again, if anybody had a right to be prideful, it would have been her. You know, she could have said, I gave birth to this thing. I'm not going. I gave birth to that kid. I don't need to seek after anymore. No, she was hungry for more, even in that state, even when she had seen everything in the life of Jesus, which I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. But she didn't let that hang her up. And I want to tell you, don't get hung up in your religion. Don't get hung up on your past of just being happy with being satisfied with being religious. Seek a deep personal relationship and experience with God. And I want to tell you, He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. And look what happens in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared unto them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what happened? They were just hungry. They were all in. They wanted everything that God had for them. And here's what's really shocking. They had no keyboard player. Nobody was on drums. Nobody was pumping them up. They were just praying and seeking after God. And that's what I want to tell you today, that you don't have to, if you don't experience this third baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by the time you leave this place today, don't condemn yourself. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Stay focused on God. And today, He's promised it. He's promised it. Does anybody here want everything that God has for you today? Is anybody here today hungry for God's presence? I wonder if we could all stand over this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just lift up our hands right now all over this place? Lord, we thank you, God, for your truth. Lord, we thank you, God, that you've called us to be disciples. And Lord, we want every experience that you have for us. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today, Lord, that they're confused and they have questions, God, I pray drive out the confusion, God. You are not the author of confusion. Here's what I want us to do. All of this place, I wonder if we could close our eyes. Let's lift up our hands. And I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask Him. I'm going to ask Him because I need more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me once again. God, I pray that you would fill every person that is here today. I pray for anybody, Lord, that has not experienced, Lord, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, God, Lord, as they ask, oh God, that you, Lord, in time, God, would give them this good gift, God. Lord, you said that we would receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Lord, that we would have power to live righteously. We would have power, Lord, over the enemy. That we have power in our personal prayer life. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I pray, Lord, that we would respond to you today, that we would be hungry. Lord, I pray, regardless of who we are, Lord, that we wouldn't be prideful, God, Lord, but we would be needy, God. I need you again, Father. Why don't we repent right now? Father, I pray that you would forgive me, Lord, of any sin in my life. God, forgive me, God, of sins, Lord, that I've done accidentally. God, forgive me of sins, Lord, that have been purposeful. Lord, if there's any habits, Lord, in my life, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, God, show it to me, God, and I pray I would surrender that part of my life, God, to you. Some of us need to repent. Some of us need to decide we're going to make some changes. We're going to stop winking at the sin in our life, and we're going to submit it to the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for any that's not been baptized, Lord, I pray, Jesus, God, that they would make that decision, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, again, fill us with the Holy Spirit and power so that we can be the church you've called us to be. Help us to be closer to you. I wonder right now, can we just put a hand, if you're comfortable with it? If not, don't worry about it. But if you're near somebody, maybe you can lay a hand on their shoulder or whatever is most appropriate. If you need to move and go somewhere else, let's just pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, make us a powerful church. God, make us a powerful church. I pray, Jesus, Lord, we would be a Spirit-empowered church, a Spirit-filled church, God. Lord, that when we pray, God, things change, not based on who we are, God, but based upon the power of the resurrection that flows within us. In Jesus' name, I pray against fear. I pray against the spirit of fear, Lord, that would try to keep people, Lord, from pursuing you, God. I pray, try to keep people from raising their hands. Try to keep people from praising you, God. I pray against fear, God. I pray, Lord, that we, God, would...